This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Oops, there we go. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam rasulahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa wala rabbi shahli sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlu luqtatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to A Juz A Day. Today we are covering the 21st juz of the Quran. The 21st juz of the Quran, that's where we have reached now, alhamdulillah. And the 21st juz of the Quran signifies something that's very special for us. Not the juz itself, but the day that we're in. What it signifies for us is we are now entering the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Tonight will be the 21st night. The Prophet ﷺ has instructed us that these are the nights where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed therein the night of power, Laylatul Qadr. And this night of power, Laylatul Qadr, is the night when the Quran was first revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That was the significance of it. But also it is a night where there's so much goodness in it. It is better than the goodness of 1,000 months. Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alfi shahr. So that is how significant, how important this is. And this night occurs, Allah has kept its day hidden from us. And that is to encourage us to seek it out and try our best for an extended period of time, 10 days. But the Prophet has given us some, hints about it, that it is to be found on the odd nights of the last 10 nights. So that's the 21st, the 23rd, the 25th, the 27th and the 29th. And that is something that we should be, focusing on. We should be trying to do good at all times. But like the example the Prophet ﷺ shows, the Prophet ﷺ, when these 10 nights would come around, he would actually exert himself even further. And he would spend his nights in worship and prayer. And he would seclude himself from his family in the sense that he wouldn't have, he wouldn't be intimate with his wives. He would, seclude himself in the masjid and, dedicate himself to worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entirely. Normally he wouldn't do that. Normally he would worship and live a balanced lifestyle. But in these 10 nights, it's like you are finishing Ramadan in the best possible way by going all out, so to say. And that's how he saw some would be. And he would be, for example, this is something that we find in the books of hadith, that he was, for example, the most generous person among all the Sahaba. But he would be even more generous in the month of Ramadan, like a blowing wind. A blowing wind is something that brings relief to a lot of people. That's how he was, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would be bringing relief to people left, right, and center. So Ramadan, and especially the last 10 nights, would increase his generosity, would increase his devotion, etc., etc. So that is where we get this idea. That's where we get this precedence of really exerting ourselves in these last 10 nights. Also, what we are to do is we should try to stay consistent. Right, the Prophet ﷺ has said, "Ahabul a'mali ilallahi adwamuha wa inqal." The best actions in the sight of God are those that are consistent, even if they are few. So we should try our best to consistently do something in these last 10 nights. What are some things? And this is a tangent. I'm going to start the Juz A Day in a sec. What is it that we should do? We should make sure that we pray Isha and we pray Fajr. That's the first thing we should, that's the first check mark, the check that we should do for this night. Okay. Praying them as well as we can. If you have family in your house, pray them together with family. If you don't have family, pray them by yourselves. No problem, alhamdulillah. Okay? Because we're in the pandemic, we don't have the option of praying in congregation. You praying by yourself in these times with the intention that if Allah had allowed us to pray in the masjid, I would have prayed in the masjid. That would be actually sufficient for that act to count as if you prayed in the masjid. And this is something the Prophet has said, the person who is sick or traveling and they're unable to do good deeds, then the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, writes their good deeds as if they were sahih and muqiman, as if they are healthy and well and healthy and stable. Idea being, if something prevents you from doing a good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not decrease the ajr. He will write it as if it was without that preventing barrier. So pray at home. Pray by yourself if you have to, if you have no family, pray with your family if you can. Either way, what it will do for you is, if your intention is, oh Allah, mind, if the masjid was open, I would be praying in the masjid, you would get the ajr, inshallah ta'ala, for that 100%. And that would mean that if you pray Fajr and Aisha, that means actually that you have now attained with that intention the reward of worshipping the whole night. But say, alhamdulillah, you worship the whole night. Say after that, you have most of the night still left. What do you do? After that, you try to make sure that you support a good cause. We are able to support good causes, virtually. So try on every night to support something small, as it may be. That will ensure that on the night of power, you have donated something for the sake of Allah. Then next thing, number three, try your best to make as much dua, as much supplication as you can. Supplications are very important for us. It's the soul food. It's the thing that sustains us. So make supplications, ask Allah, make a list of things that are bothering you, stuff that has kept you, or something that you want that you didn't get, something that is a goal that you want to achieve, something that has become a thorn in your side, whatever that may be, write it down and ask Allah for it. Being certain that He hears us and He knows what's going through us, and being certain that He will respond to us. So do that, and do it in any language. It doesn't have to be in Arabic or whatnot. Dua is from the heart. Inna Allah la yastajibu da'wata qalbin lahin ghafil. The Prophet said Allah does not respond to the dua of a person whose heart is not present, meaning they don't know what they're saying. They're just repeating words they memorized. And a person who is ghafil, someone who is just saying things, but they're not really present in the moment. They're not really asking. That kind of dua is not answered. So inshallah, make the dua with the intention, purposefully, meaningfully, and ask from your heart, and Allah will most certainly give you. Last thing is, try to incorporate as much as you can some optional prayers and some Quran on a daily basis. Optional prayers as much as you can, Quran as much as you can, inshallah. We have a live stream of the Quran recitation in the masjid. You can follow along with us there, inshallah. These are good things to do to make sure that we try to maximize the goodness of this night. This is what a small reminder I'd like to start off today with. The last 10 nights, I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to make the best of them. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. With that lengthy introduction, let us get started. We are now in the 21st juz, inshallah. The 21st juz, it begins with surah number 29, ayah 46. And in it is surah 29, surah 30, surah 31, surah 32, and surah 33. A little bit of surah 33, right? A few pages of surah 33. So those are the surahs that are in it, alhamdulillah. And what you will find is that these surahs, they all, surah number 29, Al-Ankabut, surah 30, Ar-Rum, surah 31, Luqman, surah 32, As-Sajda, all of these surahs begin with Alif Lam Mim. Alif Lam Mim, Alif Lam Mim, those three letters. And this is something that if you're reading the Quran, you will notice these things at this point in your reading or in your study. So with that, we will get started. What is the theme of this surah? Let's see. Surah Ankabut. Ankabut is a spider. We'll talk about why it's called the spider in a sec. But what is the theme of the surah? Allah says Alif Lam Mim. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think that once they say we believe, they will be left alone and not put to the test? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. We certainly tried those who have gone before them. فَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. So God will certainly distinguish between those who are truthful and those who are lying. Okay, this is what the theme of the surah is. What is fitna? Fitna is the word here. Fatanna, fit from the word fitna. Yuftanun, from the word fitna. What does the word fitna mean? The word fitna means a test that is severe. It's the image in its etymology is found in the burning oven. The burning oven that purifies metal. That process is called fatana. You put a metal that's precious and you put it in extreme heat. And that extreme heat separates the good metal, the pure metal, from the impurities that are found naturally as the metal is acquiring that, or has become attached to the metal as its existence in the earth. Okay, look at the wonderful parallel there. Okay, our natures, our souls are pure when Allah creates them. When we're born, we're sinless, but then our surroundings put in impurities into us, just like the metal has impurities that get attached to it as it is, you know, in the earth as over time passes. But then to purify us, to separate the impurities from the pure, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us through tests. And that, just like the metal is purified, the soul is purified in the same way. And this is what the surah is going to highlight, how believers will be tested. Be certain, O believer, you will be tested without any speck of a doubt. And that is done not to make you miserable. It is done to purify you. It's done to bring out the best in you, the best resolve of you. And this is something Allah has done always. Min qablihim, people before as well were put to the test. You're not the first one, and you certainly won't be the last one either. Okay. And you would say, well, how come I am being put to the test? Well, I'm trying to do something good, and these evil people are getting away with whatever they want. Don't worry. Am hasiba alladhina ya'maluna sayyi'ati an yasbiquna? Do these people who do evil imagine that they will escape us? How ill is it that they judge? Don't worry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take them to task as well, and He will test them in this life in ways that perhaps we don't perceive. Everybody will get a test, but most certainly their accountability will be severe in the next. Okay. The one who hopes to meet God should know that God's appointed hour is short to come. He is all hearing and all seeing. When whoever strives only for himself. When you're doing something good, you're doing it for yourself. If you're patient in the face of difficulties, that's for your own good and nobody else's good. If you are impatient and you throw up your arms and say, why me? You're doing that only to your detriment, because inna Allaha la ghaniyun 'anil 'alamin. God is independent of all of His creation. Okay. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some types of fitna, some difficulties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may send people's ways. Okay. Actually, before that, this ayah is actually very important. Ayah number 7. Those who believe and do good deeds, right? It's just not that, you know, you're doing good. It's not just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to leave you and say, you know, do what you have to do for your own sake. No, but Allah has something in store for you. What is that He has in store for you? لَنُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ. We shall certainly cleanse them of their evil deeds. Just like our tests cleans and purifies our souls, the evil deeds will be cleansed by a person who does good. Okay? وَلَنَجِزِيَنَّهُمْ. And on top of that, we will reward them according to the best of their actions. أَحْسَنَ الَّذِي كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. We have good days and bad days. We have, you know, actions we do that sometimes are good, sometimes are great, sometimes are not so good. Okay? What Allah will do is that He will not take the average or the floor. He will take the best action that we have done. And every other action that we do, He will reward us as if we did it at that level. That is how amazing Allah's grace is. أَحْسَنَ الَّذِي كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. The best you ever did, Allah will take that best ever and apply it to all that you have done. And that's how He will reward you. Allahu Akbar. What an amazing thing. All right. Fitna. Allah mentions fitna. Difficulties. Some difficult types of fitna. Number one, He mentions parents. Because parents can be a fitna for a person. It can be a test. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا. But if your parents bid you to associate something with me, that which you have no knowledge of, فَلَا تُطَيْعَهُمَا, then do not obey them. Okay? if a parent becomes a trial for a child in the sense that he's wanting the child to do something unacceptable Islamically, the worst of it is shirk and anything else below that, right? Then that is something that is a very difficult test. So watch out for that. But understand, Allah is the one who is putting you to that test. Okay? And don't worry, the ones who do good, Allah will always keep them in the company of the righteous. Allah will, at the end of the day, bring you through it. Just be patient and try your best in it. Also from a type of test is Ayah 10. وَمِنَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ أَمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ فَإِذَا أُوذِيَ فِي اللَّهِ جَعَلَ فِتْنَةَ النَّاسِ كَهَذَا بِاللَّهِ. This is difficulties that are related to being a faithful believer, a faithful Muslim. Maybe a person faces Islamophobia, and Islamophobia is so severe that they just say, you know what, I can't handle this. I'm going to stop being a practicing Muslim because I can't handle Islamophobia, right? They make the persecution of man for the punishment of God, okay? That's one interpretation of it. Another interpretation is that when something bad happens to them because of their faith, they're like, you know what, this is Allah punishing me. And that means I must be an evil person. And what can I do anyway? Okay, that is a fitna. That attitude is a type of a test for you. That attitude is actually not going to bring you any good. It's only going to bring you bad. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to mention the prophets who bore fitna with patience. Nuh alayhi salam. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فَلَبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا. We send Noah to his people, and he lived among them for 50 short of 1,000 years. That would make it 950 years he lived. Okay? Then deluge overtook them, for they were wrongdoers. They were drowned because they were wrongdoers. So this is a fitna. He experienced a test that was prolonged 950 years, right? Very, very long test. But Allah saved him and those with him on the ark. Eventually, Allah comes through for the believers. There is the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam, ayah number 24. Okay. Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned here, ayah number 16. With Ibrahim, إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاتَّقُوا ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Abraham, he said to his people, worship God, fear him. That would be best for you if you only knew. Okay. And he told them that this is something what you're doing is falsehood. It's fabrications. What you do has no implication, has no relationship to reality. These idols don't control anything. And then what was the response of the people? He was thrown in the fire. Ayah 24. فَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا اقْتُلُوهُ أَوْ حَرِّقُوهُ فَأَنْجَاهُ اللَّهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. They said, kill him or burn him. But God saved him from the fire. Surely in this there are signs for people who believe. This is very important. Ibrahim alayhi salam experienced intense fitna. In Nuh alayhi salam fitna, the trial was long. 950 years. Ibrahim alayhi salam, it was short, but extremely intense. It was literally, he was in the fire. Okay. So this is the types of examples of prophet who endured fitna. The next example is Lut alayhi salam, ayah number 26. Lut was the one who believed in him because Lut was related to Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَقَالَ إِنِّي مُهَاجِرٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Okay, what was the fitna of Lut? The fitna of Lut is in ayah 28. We sent Lot to his people and he said to them, indeed, you commit obscenity such as no people before you have ever committed. Okay. What is this obscenity? إِنَّكُمْ لَتَأْتُونَ الرِّجَالَ وَتَقْطَعُونَ السَّبِيلَ وَتَأْتُونَ فِي نَادِيكُمُ الْمُنْكَرِ. You approach men and you waylay them on the road. تَقْطَعُونَ السَّبِيلَ means you are highway robbers. Highway robbers, excuse me. وَتَأْتُونَ فِي نَادِيكُمُ الْمُنْكَرِ. And you commit all types of, you know, shamelessness in your gatherings. Okay. What he's referencing is that this is a community of people who are doing immoral actions of, but not limited to sexuality. Ta'tuna rijal here is not approach men as in like, you know, you're approaching to shake their hand. This ta'tuna rijal, ata is used in Arabic to talk or to signify someone being intimate with somebody. Okay. So this is their intimate. Men are being intimate with men. Okay. In a sexual manner. You do that, you are robbers. You steal people's money. You loot the ones who are, you know, helpless, because, you know, like a highway robber is, you know, picking on someone who is exhausted, is vulnerable, right? So you're like a band of, like, you know, you're bandits. Okay, and you do all types of evil in your society. These were not people just limited to one type of crime. They were doing everything. But the one that stood out unprecedentedly was this. You are being intimate with men. And that was something that as a community hadn't happened before Lut alayhi salam's people. Okay. And then as Lut alayhi salam was the angels were sent to destroy the people of Lut. They first came to Ibrahim to tell him that he has a child that is on his way. But Ibrahim says, "Well, ayah number 32, that and they said that also that these people will be destroyed, the people of Lot." So Ibrahim says, "Qala inna fiha Luta, Lot lives there." The angel's like, "Yes, we know who lives there. We know very well who lives there. But you will surely save him and his family, except his wife, who will be among those who stay behind and will be punished." Now, ayah 33, Lut alayhi salam, his fitna is what? When these messengers came in the form of humans, these angels came in the form of humans, they were harassed, and he was very distressed by that. But then the angel said, "Have no fear or grief. We shall certainly save you and your household, except your wife, who will be among those who stay behind." Lut alayhi salam's fitna was very stressful. Right? He didn't suffer persecution. He wasn't thrown in the fire. He wasn't, you know, like hurt physically in this manner. But it was a very stressful situation. And that is, you know, an example of fitna. Prophets who endured fitna as well, like Lut alayhi salam. And then other prophets are mentioned. Shu'aib alayhi salam is mentioned. Ayah number 36. Okay? And he is inviting people to worship Allah and not to be corrupt. And then people don't accept that. Ayah 37. And the earthquake overwhelmed them and they were destroyed. Wa'adan wa Thamud. And same happened to Aad and Thamud. And this are something, you know, these stories are mentioned. But the Quran says something very interesting about them. Wazayyana lahum shaytanu a'malahum. Satan made their actions seem good to them. Fasaddahum anis sabil. Turn them away from the straight path. وَكَانُوا مُسْتَبْصِرِينَ. Even though they were intelligent people, they were not just like, you know, people who were gullible or, you know, unintelligent. They were able to, they were rational people. But their, you know, what they were doing seemed good to them. Shaitan made it look, you know, whispered to them that this is good, keep up with that. And that's how they stayed away from the truth, even though they saw a prophet with their own eyes. Okay. Also, Qarun, wa Fir'aun, wa Haman, Korah, Pharaoh, and Haman. All these were mentioned last time. Yes. Moses came to them, but they were extremely arrogant and could not escape Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment. Remember, I said in the very beginning, the surah says, people who are tested, you know, don't think only the believers and only the good people are tested. Everybody is tested, and nobody's going to escape Allah's accountability. And Fir'aun, definitely as an example of that. He lived long and enjoyed, but he couldn't escape Allah's accountability. Okay? فَكُلًّا أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِهِ. This is a very interesting ayah. Ayah 40. The end of the adversaries of the prophets. We seized each one of them for his sins. Some we struck with a violent storm. Some of them were overcome by a sudden blast. Some were swallowed up by the earth. And some we drowned. Okay? Different types of punishments that Allah unleashed upon them. But it's not because Allah wants to hurt them or he wants to be a tyrant. وَلَيْعَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَظْلِمَهُمْ. God did not wrong them. وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. They wronged themselves and thus was their end. Now we come to the passage that shows us the name of the surah. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ اتَّخَذَتْ بَيْتًا وَإِنَّ أَوْهَنَ الْبُيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. Those who take protectors other than God can be compared to the spider which builds itself a cobweb. But the frailest of all structures is the house of the spider if they but knew. God surely knows what they invoke besides him. He is the mighty and wise. وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ. Such are the examples that we make for people or give to people. But only those who are, only those understand them, those only those understand them who have knowledge. Allah has created the heavens and the earth for a purpose. Surely in this there is a sign for true believers. Okay, what is this example? A very beautiful example. I actually don't think this, this is not a correct translation. The frailest of all structures. Because that's not what the Arabic is saying. أوهن البيوت, not أضعف البيوت. Okay, أضعف البيوت would be the frailest, the weakest. But أوهن is like from the word وهن, which is like, it means weak, but there is still some structural integrity to that weakness. Okay. Inni wahana al-azmu minni. For example, Zakariya al-Islam speaks about his bones becoming weak. Doesn't mean his bones are about to break. The bones still have structural integrity. Yes. But, you know, he's like, I'm getting old. Okay. So that word is used here for the to describe the house of the, or the cobweb of the spider web. Okay. This is a very interesting description. Firstly, it's an example of how, if you look, you have to look at the spider web. What is a spider web? It's actually extremely, it catches a bug. Like a spider would catch a bug in it. And once the bug is caught, it is just caught in it. It can't go anywhere. The bug has no place to escape once it's caught in the spider's web. Okay, that's the image if you were to look at a spider's web. And that's the purpose of the web, actually. The spider doesn't just live in it for the sake of living. Spider roams around all over the place. It's really meant to catch a bug. Okay. That is the example of the one who is taking other protectors besides Allah, other deities besides Allah. Okay. Once they have swallowed that theology and ideology up fully, they're caught in it. It's going to be very difficult to escape it. Okay? And that is unfortunately the case with much of humanity. Like, they are just caught in the religion that they are born in, or the religion that they consider to be just the norm for them. Yes? That's how, unfortunately, people are. You're just stuck in that situation. You're caught just like the bug that's caught in the spider's web. Okay, so that's the example. And the example is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in reality, Allah has created the heavens and earth for a purpose. So the one who is caught in a false religion is, you know, the requirement from them, as is for every soul, is to seek its creator. Okay, so that seeking of the creator through observing of Allah's signs in the cosmos, that is a sign lil mu'mineen. For those who are, you know, coming down that path, therein is that exit for the person who's caught in that spider web of a false religion. Okay, it's a very, very, you know, involved example. Also, an interesting thing is the spider's web is actually not like structurally, it has integrity. Okay, it's not structured, it holds up structurally. It can, you know, it can survive, like a brief wind. It can survive even like, you know, someone trying to fly through it, like a bug trying to fly through it. It actually holds its integrity. This is the thing. The same idea applies to these faiths and whatnot. They hold up in their integrity, right? They stay, they're not just like collapsing on themselves, all right? So this is the example that Allah gives, and it's a involved example, and it's a very pretty like deep example that you all the that a person being in this kind of a situation is a fitna for them. That's the test that Allah chose for them. Okay, just like He chose the test of being thrown in the fire for Ibrahim, the test of Lut alayhi salam, the test of prophets before, the test of people are the, whose stories we don't know in the Quran, but you may know them from other outside. This is how Allah chose their test, and this is the test that He has, He's testing them with. He's given them an exit, a way to pass it, which is His numerous signs all around them, and now He is the one who is the judge of it. So it's a pretty involved example. I hope that makes sense, inshallah. The way out of this fitna, or the way out of fitna, is utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitab wa aqim al-salah. Establish, recite the book and establish the prayer. Very beautiful ayah. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar, because prayer restrains one from indecency and evil, and the remembrance of God is greater. God has knowledge of all your actions. This is the idea. Salah makes the desire for, when salah, when pray correctly, when you pray in the right way, meaningfully, your desire for evil, becomes weaker and weaker. That's what salah is supposed to do when done in the right way. And if that's not the result you're getting, then the salah has to be improved. You have to reevaluate it. This is a beautiful thing for us to use to help ourselves from getting staying out of trouble. There's a little interfaith dialogue that's mentioned here. How do you speak to the people of the book? وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Argue with them in the best way. Don't become, insult them. Don't say things that are inappropriate. This is not the way to do and to have an argument. The goal isn't for you to win a debate. The goal is for people to see the truthfulness of Islam. Okay? Say we believe in what has been revealed to us and what has been revealed to you. Our God and your God are one, and to him we submit. A very beautiful statement. Ilahuna wa ilahukum wahid. Right? It's not like Allah is a different God than, God Almighty. It's the same, right? We submit to him, we worship him alone, and that's what we invite you to as well. Okay? Ayah number 48 mentions something very interesting. وَمَا كُنْتَ تَتْلُو مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَلَا تَخُطُّهُ بِيَمِينِكَ إِذَا لَرْتَابَ الْمُبْطِلُونَ. You were not able to read any book before, nor did you write one down with your hand. If you had done so, the followers of falsehood would surely have caused a doubt. If you were, O Prophet, someone who was lettered, who would read and write, people would say, well, he probably read it somewhere and that's why he's coming up with this. And that would give them a leg to stand on. But the Prophet did not. He wasn't lettered. He was unlettered. He couldn't read or write, as was actually the norm back in the time in Arabia. But for him, it was special because this was a protection from people thinking that the Quran or associating the Quran to other sources. It was a sign that this is actually a miraculous revelation. The Prophet encouraged every believer to study and become educated. In fact, at the Battle of Badr, the prisoners of war, the ransom for a prisoner of war was either ransom, like money, or you teach 10 believers how to read and write. If you can teach a believer, 10 believers how to read and write, you have ransomed yourself from prison, right? So this is how much he would encourage us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? If you had done so, the followers of doubt, falsehood would have had cause to doubt it. بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. But the Quran is a revelation that is clear to the hearts of those endowed with knowledge. Only the evildoers refuse to acknowledge our revelations. You see, the Quran, this is a true miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet did not, given his circumstances that he's unlettered, could not have come up with it. He was not known as a poet, because others in Arabia were known as a poet. And this is certainly not poetry. It doesn't sound, has no bearings or semblance to Arabic poetry, classical Arabic poetry. Okay, so clearly this is ayatun bayyinat. This is clear revelation from God. And to see the effect of it, the Quran says, fi suduril ladina utul ilm. It touches the hearts of those who are endowed with knowledge. Those who are learning and studying it, this book touches their hearts. Or another interpretation, it's stored in their hearts. Fi suduril ladina utul ilm. This is a beautiful thing as well, because the Quran is preserved unprecedentedly, unlike anything before it. And that, is evidence of its divinity as well. Okay? The people say, well, why isn't there a miraculous sign given to him? Ayah 51 says, is it not sufficient for them that we send down the book to be recited to them? Is this not a miracle? The Prophet being unlettered, telling people about all these historical events with such precision and so much guidance in this. Okay. Number one, is not its preservation a miracle? Number two, okay. Is not its style a miracle? Number three, أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِيهِمْ. Is it not sufficient for them that you have sent down the book to be recited to them? Indeed, this book is a blessing and a mercy for those who believe. Okay. The test of life or tests are part of life. The Quran reminds us of this again and again and again. Okay. Again and again, the Quran tells us your test, your life is going to be a test. Allahu yabsutu rizqa liman yasha'u wa yaqdir. Ayah 62. Allahu yabsutu rizqa liman yasha'u min ibadihi wa yaqdiru lah. God gives abundantly to whom He wills and sparingly to whom He pleases. Inna Allaha bikulli shay'in alim. God has full knowledge of all things. That's a test. How much money you have. You know, this is a part of Allah's tests for people. وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهْوٌ وَلَعِبٌ. I keep misreading it, sorry. وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهْوٌ وَلَعِبٌ. The life of this world is nothing but a sport and a diversion. This is a test for people to get caught up in the entertainment, in the playing and the enjoyment, in the things that are, you know, fun but meaningless. This is a test, and by God is a test for all of us, because we live in a society, we live in times where, you know, you're affiliated, like your identity is determined quite a bit by the sports teams you support and the entertainment you consume and the subscriptions you have and the artists you like. That defines your identity. That's how entrenched we are in this. That's how big of a test it is for us. We have to understand the reality that these are just instruments of the world. These are just distractions if you get caught up in them. Okay? Because inna dar al-akhirata lahiya al-hayawan, it is the life of the hereafter, which is the only true life. Hayawan in Arabic is an animal. Hayawan with a fatha on the ya is full of life. Okay, some people mistake what this ayah means quite hilariously, but that this mistaken the mistake is on their part, because hayawan with a fatha is means from the word haya. Hayatun is life. The life of the next life is full of life. That's the true life. لو كانوا يعلمون, if they only knew it. Okay. An ayah for Quraysh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا جَعَلْنَا حَرَمًا آمِنًا وَيُتَخَطَّفُ النَّاسُ مِنْ حَوْلِهِمْ. Ayah 67. Have they not seen how we have granted them a safe sanctuary, the Kaaba, and people around them, all around them, are being snatched away? Isn't this a sign from Allah that people in a lawless society respect Quraysh and don't, you know, loot their possessions because they live next to the house of Allah? Isn't this a sign of the oneness of Allah for them? Right? أَفَبِالْبَاطِلِ يُؤْمِنُونَ وَبِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ يَكْفُرُونَ. Will they still believe in falsehood and deny the favor of God? Will they still continue to do that? And this is something that the surah concludes with, that وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. We will surely guide in our ways those who strive hard for our cause. If you try, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide you. If you pray, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make will accept that prayer, and He will give you the ability, the divine tawfiq, the divine ability to pray more. If you take one step towards Allah, Allah will take many steps towards you. If you come to Allah walking, He will come to you running. That is what this ayah says. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. But you have to take the first step. Those who strive hard, that's the people Allah guides. And this is a very key ayah. I would like you to underline it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Surely God is with those who are not just righteous. That's an okay translation. محسنين as the doers of good. Allah is with those who are the doers of good. You do good and Allah is going to be with you. That's His promise and He keeps His promises. The next surah is Surah Ar-Rum. أَلِفْ لَمْ مِيمْ غُلِبَتِ الرُّومِ. The Romans have been defeated. في أدنى الأرض وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون. In a nearby land, and they will reverse their defeat with a victory. في بضع سنين, within a few years, it's precisely within 9 years. Because bid is actually 9. إله الأمر من قبل ومن بعد. For God rests, with God rests all power. I don't know why he didn't put 9 there. Yeah, within 3 to 9 years. That's the correct translation. Okay. To Allah belongs the command before and after, and that day the believers will rejoice in the victory of Allah. He gives victory to whoever he wills, and he is the exalted in might and merciful. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ. Okay, what is this referring to? Firstly, الروم is the Romans. Okay, and you can see غُلِبَتِ الروم. It's actually speaking about the Byzantine Empire. Okay, the Byzantines were the eastern flank of the Roman Empire. They were Romans, but they were called, you know, the long history how they broke off and whatnot and became the Byzantine empires. But outside of their, you know, outside of Rome and the Byzantine Empire, Constantinople, everybody else knew them as the Romans. Okay, and the Arabs, especially everybody from that side, was a Rome, the Romans. Okay, so that's what the Quran is referring to. But it's referring specifically to the Byzantine Empire. Okay. And it's speaking about a king from the Byzantine Empire based out of Constantinople. Constantinople is modern-day Istanbul in Turkey. And his name was Heraclius. Heraclius, in Arabic, Herakl, is the king that this is referencing. And actually, Heraclius is an important figure for us because the Prophet sent him a letter inviting him to Islam. And he had a very lengthy conversation with a Sahabi about Islam, who at that time was not a Muslim. The Sahabi was not a Muslim at that time. So that's why he tells the story later on after he becomes a Muslim. And Heraclius was actually close to becoming a Muslim because he knew as soon as he got the letter and as soon as he spoke to the Sahabi, he knew that this is the prophet that they were all waiting for. He didn't know, though, that that prophet would come from the family of Ismail, from the progeny of Ishmael. But he didn't accept Islam because he didn't want to lose his kingdom. Okay, what is the historical background? The Sassanid Empire, this is the Persians, they had reached, a place in 615 that there were many years of battle, many decades of battle that they were happening between the two empires. And in 615, it was at a point where they were ready to allow the Byzantine Empire to become a Persian client state, even permitting Khosrow II to choose the emperor. They had ravaged this. The Byzantine Empire reached all the way into the city of Chalcedon, which is very close to Constantinople. And by 1615, they had almost broken the Byzantine Empire. Okay, but for better or for worse, they left the Byzantine Empire in its tattered state. Okay? By 622, that's exactly 7 years after that, Heraclius, the king of the Byzantines, recovered, spent all that time, you know, recovering, and he was ready to mount a counter offensive. Okay, he won a very important victory in the fall of 620. And then in March 624, he left Constantinople to attack the Persian heartland exactly 9 years after the time from the first attack or the point where they were almost broken. Okay, that is what I was reading from my notes. This is from, I was finding the historical background of this. That is what this surah is predicting. غُلِبَتِ الرُّومُ in 615. And by 624, they will be back. They will be back. And it's exactly what Heraclius did. Within 9 years, he was attacking the Sassanid Empire in the middle of the Persian heartland and victorious, won many victories, in those battles. Okay. But what's amazing is not just that prediction, that this is actually showing that the Quran is predicting the future, and this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet would not have known this. This is not like it would have been absolutely impossible for someone to predict this because the Byzantine Empire was in tatters. But the Prophet was not predicting the future, it was telling the people what Allah was saying. Okay, but also there's a second prediction, which is وَيَوْمَ إِذِينَ يَفْرَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. On that day, the believers will rejoice. And exactly on that day, in March of 624 AD, on the 17th night of Ramadan, in the second year after Hijrah, was when the believers were also winning a battle, the Battle of Badr, in March 624. Isn't that amazing? It's literally, you know, historically, if you were to narrow it down, it's the same month of the same year. And, you know, we don't know exactly which day of which day that assault of by Heraclius was taking place, but it's so close. You are absolutely, like, you know, within the ballpark of this to understand that this is truly a miracle, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is predicting on that day the believers are going to have a victory as well, and that's the victory of Badr. And how amazing is that? Two predictions in one, and both of them coming true on the same day, both against the odds, both against the odds. And that is how Allah gives victory. He gives victory to whoever He wills. Yansuru man yasha. And that is a sign of Allah. The sign of Allah is the promise that Allah makes. The signs of Allah, that's the theme of the surah, is the signs of Allah is this great, beautiful book that Allah has sent, because this is predicting the future, and those are signs of Allah. God does not fail His promise, but most of the people know not. Okay, there is many signs that people are oblivious to, or they choose to be oblivious to them. Okay, do they not contemplate within themselves? Allah has not created the heavens and the earth and what is between them except in truth and for a specified term. Do they not see that there's a order to the universe, and everything that's living is dying? So eventually everything in existence is also going to die. If it had a beginning, it's also going to have an end. But most people are disbelievers in the meeting of their Lord. Okay, this is a very very sad reality, right? There are signs of Allah all around us. Okay. فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ حِينَ تُمْسُونَ وَحِينَ تُصْبِحُونَ. Ayah 17. Okay. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَعَشِيًّا وَحِينَ تُظْهِرُونَ. And to Him is all due all praise throughout the heavens and the earth. Exalted is He at night and when you are at noon. He brings the living out of the dead. This is, for example, maybe a seed is dead, but the living comes out of it. Or brings the dead out of the living. This could be a reference to someone who has a miscarriage. You would assume that this is a person who's going to bring forward life. Life will come out of life. But the opposite happens. And this is a tragedy, right? One is a celebration, the other is a tragedy. This is the ends of the spectrum that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to highlight. He is in control of both things. It's also a metaphor. The living out of the dead is someone whose heart is dead, right? Like they're disconnected from their Lord, but Allah will revive it and now they become alive again, okay? And the dead out of the living is also a metaphor in that someone is, you know, they could be tested, where they're surrounded by people who are spiritually alive, but this person has the wretchedness to not follow the straight path. And now they're literally like a dead person in the middle of all these living people. This is the test that Allah gives. He's trying to show the ends of the spectrum here with this example. وَيُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. And He brings life to the earth after its lifelessness. وَكَذَلِكَ تُخْرَجُونَ. And this is how you will be brought back to life as well. Look at this passage. It's going to talk about Allah's signs. From His signs, of 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 His signs. You see how many times that comes? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times it comes in this passage, repeating. Of His signs that He created you from dust, and then certainly you are human beings dispersing through the earth, right? Has such humble origins. Adam al-Islam was created from dust. We are, you know, a byproduct of the process of creation. We're created from a drop of sperm. We live off what grows in the dust. We're so fickle. And then all of a sudden, we are dispersed around the earth and populating the earth and strong and powerful. Of His signs that He's created from you, created for you from yourselves, mates من آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها so that you may find tranquility in them. And this is the purpose of getting married. The purpose of marriage is to find tranquility. That's what it is. Some married people are like, what is this talking about? But it is true. That's actually what this purpose of the marriage is, to be tranquil, to have serenity and calmness and enjoyment. Okay? And that is found because Allah has placed between you affection and mercy. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. This is, you know, like shades of different type of emotions and how a person expresses them physically to their spouse and also emotionally to their spouse. Both things are there. In that, there is a sign for people who give thought. And from his signs, of his signs, is the creation of the heavens and the earth. وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. And the diversity of your languages and your colors. Indeed, in that are signs for those of knowledge. Right? This is a very beautiful thing. The diversity of Allah's creation is highlighting the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is something to be celebrated. That is not something to be considered as a bad thing. Okay? وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ مَنَامُكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَابْتِغَاءُكُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. His signs is how you go to sleep and how you wake up. At night you sleep and you recover. And during the day you work and you travel and you do things seeking Allah's bounty. This is a sign how He's created this system for those who listen. His sign is that He shows lightning, causing fear and aspiration. خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. Fear and hope. Because when the lightning strikes, or lightning is heard, that is actually, sorry, lightning is seen, thunder is heard. When you see lightning, excuse me, that means there's a little bit of fear. You're like, oh, subhanAllah, it's like the earth is, or the sky is splitting up. So it's fear. But also, if you are hoping for rain, that is a source of happiness, because you're like, okay, there's lightning, that means inshallah rain is not far off. This is a very interesting parable. Allah, the same thing inspires two almost opposite emotions. Okay, this is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how we are as human beings. We're able to process a very variety of emotions. Okay, that's why when you say we worship Allah in fear of Allah's punishment and also in hope of His mercy, it's very similar, right? These two emotions can be balanced, and that gives us the balanced way to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not one way or the other. He sends down rain from the sky by which He brings life to the earth after its lifelessness. Indeed, there is signs for that for people who are people of understanding. From His signs is that the sky and the earth are in command, or they remain by His command. But then there will be a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will end everything. And when He calls you from us with a single call from the earth, you will immediately come forth, because He is the owner of all that is between the skies and the earth, and everybody is devoutly obedient to Him. He is the one who begins creation and then He repeats it. The first time He created, and then He repeats the process of creation, and that is even easier for Him. Another meaning of يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ. He started the creation, and then He will bring you back to life. And bringing you back to life is even easier for Him to create you the first time, because creating you the first time was from nothing. You didn't exist. Bringing you back to life is from your existing materials, like existing carbon and iron that's in our bodies. Those existing materials, those elements are there. He will recreate you, and that's easier. Also, if you do something first time, second time, the same thing is easier. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Think logically. If He can bring you into existence, it is easier for Him to bring you into existence a second time. وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. To Him belongs the highest attribute in the heavens and the earth, and He is the one exalted in might and power. Many, many beautiful examples, many, many beautiful signs that Allah tells us that are all around us. Okay, He gives us some food for thought here. Okay, He gives us some food for thought when it comes to to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 40. Allahu alladhi khalaqakum thumma razaqakum thumma yumitukum thumma yuhyikum. Allah is the one who created you, then provided for you, then he will cause you to die, and then he will give you life. Are there any of your partners who do any of that? Any of the, your partners, any, whether it be a man, a prophet that you worship, or anything else, is there anybody else who has the power to do this? Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun, exalted is he above what they associate. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an example of resurrection. Okay, Allahu alladhi yursilu riyah, ayah 48. It is Allah who sends the winds, and they stir the clouds and spread them in the sky however he wills, and he makes them fragments, so you see the rain emerge from them. How precise of the of a description is that of how the rain falls? فَإِذَا أَصَابَ بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ إِذَا هُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. Rain falls. People are like, yes, it's raining. We can grow our crops. We're out of drought. Yes. وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يُنَزَّلَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمُبْلِسِينَ. But just before it rained, they were in a state of despair. Subhanallah. What is human psychology? How fickle we are as people. Before Allah gives us, we are in a state of despair. We are, you know, downtrodden. We feel like nothing is going our way. And when it comes, we're like, yes, alhamdulillah, yay. Okay? This is that kind of imbalance. That is something, like we mentioned before, the believer is able to control their emotions. They understand their emotions, are able to control their emotions. They're able to control how they react. That is the believer. فَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ أَثَارِ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. So observe the effects of Allah's mercy, but also observe when Allah sends His mercy. كَيْفَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. How it gives life to the earth after its lifelessness. Here, the rain is called the mercy of Allah. That's what rain is. It's the mercy of Allah. It is the thing that gives life to the dead. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. How it gives life to the earth after its lifelessness. Indeed, the same one, i.e. Allah, will give life to the dead in the same way, and he is competent of all things. This is a great sign of Allah for us to consider. And by the way, rain, we shouldn't, you know, be upset at rain. Oh, it's raining again. Oh, it's a rainy day. You know, these are expressions we use. It's fine, right? But rain is a mercy of Allah. Without rain, we have drought. Without rain, we are suffering, right? Without rain, you have like forest fires, right? Look at what happens in like California, for example, in the summer, right? It's a mercy of Allah. We should be thankful when it rains. We should be happy, even if it, like, you know, ruins your plans. You wanted to go to the beach and it's raining. It's fine. You can go again, right? But be happy and don't say bad things about rain, because it's a beautiful gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it says, but if we were to send a bad wind and they saw all their crops turned yellow, they would remain thereafter disbelievers. Like, after all this celebration and happiness, if Allah brings them back to a situation that they lost what they had gained, they would become despondent and in a state of despair. And now even so ungrateful that they perhaps become a disbeliever. This is the kind of emotions that human beings fluctuate through. And the Prophet is told, you can't change people's minds. إِنَّكَ لَتُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَ. You cannot make them hear if they don't want to hear. You cannot ask them to do, you cannot guide the one who doesn't want to see. You only will make hear those who believe. You only will make this message will only reach those who are interested in listening. And if they're not interested in listening, well, you can't do much. Surah ayah number 54 gives a beautiful example of aging. That's a sign of Allah, how we age. Okay, Allahu alladhi khalaqakum min da'f. He has created you from weakness, in a state of weakness. And then thumma ja'ala min ba'di da'fin quwwa. After a state of weakness, he brings or he gives you strength. That's when you become an adult, right? You're a grown man or a grown woman. Okay, you're straight state of strength. ثُمَّ مِنْ جَعْلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ ضَعْفٍ قوة ثم جعل من بعد قوة ضعفا وشيبة. And later after that, he has given you infirmity and gray hairs in place of strength. After that, you lose your strength and you have gray hairs and you have you're back in a state of weakness. Right? It's like life has come a full circle. يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ. He creates whatever he wills. وَهُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْقَدِيرُ. He's giving the example of the creation to remind us that we're feeble. We're not all powerful. We're not all dominant. We have stages of extreme weakness and helplessness and stages of power and independence. And then a stage at the very end, we're helpless again and weak again. Okay? This is how Allah has made us, to remind us that we are from a humble origin and we are humble beings, and our Lord is the one who we should be humble to. Also, an example of creation is not to last forever. Creation is going to wither away and die and then be brought back to life on the last day. Okay, and that's why the last day is mentioned very, very frequently here. So that is that. Alhamdulillah. The surah concludes with a very interesting passage, which is about the disbelievers, the evildoers will say on the day of judgment that they only lived on the earth for an hour. Okay? But the believers and the ones of knowledge would say, you lived as long as Allah wanted you to live. Okay? But today is the day of resurrection and you were not aware of this. Like you chose to not pay attention to it. So today, your excuses will be of no avail. فَيَوْمَ إِذِ اللَّهِ يَنْفَعُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مَعْذِرَتُهُمْ وَلَا هُمْ يُسْتَعْتَبُونَ. Today, your excuses, ma'zira is an excuse. Your pleas are not going to benefit. And today, there's no way you can go back to make amends. So right now, when you're alive, make amends. That's what the Quran says. Surah number 31, Surah Luqman, begins with Alif Lam Mim. تِلْكَ آيَاتُ الْكِتَابِ الْحَكِيمِ. These are the verses of the book of wisdom. It is a guide and mercy for those who do good, those who establish the prayer and pay the zakat, and they are firm in their faith in the hereafter. These are the people who God has guided, who are rightly guided by their Lord, and they are the ones who will prosper. A beautiful, the important aspects of life are mentioned here. Establish the prayer, give zakat, be certain of the next life. And that is our guiding principles. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهْوَ الْحَدِيثِ. Among men are some who spend their time in idle diversions. Their whole life is about just idle talk, talking about sports the whole time. Their life is consumed by sports. I watch sports too, but my life isn't consumed or defined by it. Okay, their life becomes consumed by it. Or their life is consumed by entertainment. We see these filthy magazines that are just, the people are just consumed by it. And that kind of, that kind of deep dive into these things that are frivolous, لِيُضِلَّ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, leads them astray and leads people astray from the path of God. People forget about their purpose in life because they're too occupied worrying about who's sleeping with who, right? And who scored how many points. And they do this they hold up the religion to be a ridicule. The amount of scrutiny and the amount of nuance that we have when we talk about sports, if we had that about religion, right? Then we would have a very good conversation about religion. Okay? أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. For such, there's a humiliating punishment in store. Okay? Very interesting. This surah speaks about Luqman al-Hakim. Luqman was an African man. And Luqman was a person who, there's some disagreement about whether he was a prophet or not, but it seems like he's not a prophet because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say he was sent. Because when he talks about a prophet, Allah says he was sent. Arsalna, right? From the word Rasul. Or from, he's acting in a manner that seems divinely ordained, like Khidr in the example of Musa. Okay, so Luqman salam is not mentioned in those manners, but he is still a honored man because Allah mentioned him by name and mentions the good of him, and mentions that he was bestowed with wisdom. Okay, and the wisdom that was given to Luqman was, be grateful to God, He who is grateful only for the good of his soul. But one who is ungrateful, surely God is self-sufficient and praiseworthy. If you're grateful to Allah, that's good for you. It's good for your soul right now and good for your salvation. It is not adding anything to Allah or taking anything away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Luqman is going to advise his son. And look at the advice. He says, Ya bunayya la tushrik billah. My son, do not associate anything with God. That's the foundation of our faith. That's the foundation of success. We worship Allah alone. The one who brought us into the world is the one we worship. The one who will take us out of the world is the one who we worship and nobody else. Okay, because associating others with Allah is a terrible wrong. Inna shirka la dhulmun azim. Okay. He mentions, Ya bunayya. إِنَّهَا إِن تَكُوا مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُنْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِي بِهَا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. Number two, he said to his son, My son, though it be but the weight of a grain of mustard seed, and though it may it be hidden in a rock, or in the heavens, or in the on the earth, God will bring it forth. Okay, what is he talking about? He's talking about even if it's something as small as you can imagine. Okay, the smallest thing you can imagine, and you think of the most obscure place that you can hide it. The most obscure place on earth or in the sky where it is, hidden. Wherever that might be, Allah will bring that on the day of judgment, that thing, and, you know, bring it to assembly. Inna Allaha latifun khabir. God is the knower of subtleties and he is the most aware. Meaning what? Nothing is hidden from him. Don't think you can fool him. Don't think you can live a double life and get away with it. Everything you do, Allah will bring it to the table on the day of judgment. So you see, what he's building is the foundation of faith. Understand Allah is the only one worthy of worship. Understand Allah is the only one who will hold us accountable, and nothing escapes his accountability on the day of judgment. Then he goes to the rituals. Ya bunayya aqim as-salah, establish the prayer. Number three, wa'mur bil ma'roof, enjoin good. Number four, wanha anil munkar, forbid evil. Number five, wasbir ala ma asabak. Number six, patiently endure whatever may befall you, whatever happens in life, good or bad, but especially bad. Ma asabak is actually specifically about something that's bad. Asaba from the word musiba, right? When a trial, a tragedy, a calamity comes to you, be patient, control your emotions, keep them in check. Say only what's appropriate and good, and understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wisdom, and you will see that soon. Inna dhalika min azmi al-umur. Surely this is something that requires firm resolve. This is not easy to do all these things, but it requires strength of character. Okay. Wala tusa'ir khaddaka lin-nas. Number seven, do not avert your face from people out of haughtiness, meaning don't look down on people. Don't just like say, you know, like you're too good for them. No. You're just a person like anybody else. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Don't walk on earth with pride. Don't think that you're better than anybody else and you're the center of the universe, that you're so important. You're not. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. For God does not love the arrogant, boastful people. وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكْ. Walk modestly. Number nine. وَغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكْ. And lower your voice. Okay? Your voice is not the most important voice. Don't always try to hear yourself talk. Don't always try to drown other people's voices and opinions, because that's an element of narcissism in there. Okay, inna ankara al-aswati la sawtul hamir, the worst type of the ugliest of all voices, the braying of the donkey. The ass here means donkey, not what you think. Okay, the surah concludes with a very beautiful passage, ayah number 33. In ya ayyuhan nasu taqoo rabbakum waqshaw yawma, O men, seek protection. Oh, people, actually, seek protection with your Lord and fear the day when neither will the father be of any avail to his son, nor will the son be of any avail to his father. Even though this surah mentioned a father and a son, yes? And a beautiful relationship of a father and a son, where the father is a righteous, wise man, and he's beautifully advising his son with all sorts of beautiful things, with the foundation of faith, rituals, standing up for justice and good causes, being patient and having, you know, fortitude and character, having humility, not being full of yourself. All the kind of things you want in a young person, yes? And more. But that is only for this world. Once the next life kicks in, you know, all of that will end. then a person is by themselves until they go to Jannah, and then we're back as families together. But on that day, there is no relationships. You're by yourself. Okay, a father will be of no use to a son, and a son will be of no use to a father. Inna wa'adallahi haqq, God's promises surely true. So let not the worldly life beguile you. Let it not deceive you. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. And don't let the deceiver deceive you concerning God. وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. Don't let your the deception that comes as part of the enjoyment of life, the luxuries of life, the entertainments of life, don't let that make you forget about the purpose of life. Al-gharur here is, he says, ash-shaytan. Don't also let the deceiver, i.e. shaytan, make you forget about the purpose of your life and the finality of this day. Okay? Inna Allah 'indahu 'ilmu as-sa'ah. Truly God alone has knowledge of the hour, and he sends down the rain, and he knows what's in the wombs. Right? Nobody knows when the hour is. Rain is, you have the probability of precipitation. You don't know for a fact if it's going to rain. And he knows what's in the wombs, right? When they're developing until they have formed, and then you can see them through ultrasound. Until they have formed, you don't know what it is. Only Allah knows until that point. Okay? No one knows what they will earn tomorrow, meaning you don't know whether you're going to be alive tomorrow or not. And you don't know where you will die. لَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. These are examples of things that are known to Allah only. Inna Allah alimun khabir, because Allah is all knowing and all aware. I'm going to quickly conclude with a short surah, Surah Sajda. This is a surah that you should try to read every night. Surah number 32 and Surah 67. The Prophet said these are two surahs to read. They protect you from the punishment of, you know, the hereafter, and they are a source of blessings and comfort. Okay, it begins with a beautiful passage, Alif Lam Mim. As you notice, this is the fourth Alif Lam Mim in a row. Okay, Tanzilul Kitabi min Allahi al. Excuse me, Tanzilul Kitabi la rayba fihi min Rabbil Alamin. This book has beyond all doubt been revealed by the Lord of the Universe. And do they say that he has made it himself? No, in fact, he has not. It is the truth from your Lord to warn people who before had never seen a messenger. This is talking about Mecca, the people of Mecca. They had never seen a messenger before or heard of a messenger before in this context. So that's why perhaps that they're reacting this way. So Allah is going to give them evidences. Allah is the one who's created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, established himself on the throne. He is the only one worthy of worship. Why don't you pay heed to that? He is the one who directs all affairs from the sky and the earth. He's the one who knows everything. ذَلِكَ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ. Right? The day when he brings you to judgment, كَانَ مِخْدَارُهُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ. Then again, we'll ascend to him on a day whose length is 1,000 years by the way you measure. Okay? Time is relative. In the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has relativity. He has perfected everything. Originated the creation of man from clay, made you into progeny, min sulalatin min ma'in mahin, from an extract of a humble fluid. But then he made you, molded you, breathed into you his spirit, our souls, gave you the faculties of hearing and sight and hearts. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفِدَّةَ قَلِيلًا مَّا تَشْكُرُونَ. How little are you grateful? Such a beautiful ayah. Okay, the surah has an interesting passage. The people say, are we going to be brought back to life after we are dead? Allah says, yes, you will be brought back to life. And you know what's going to happen? When the day of judgment, if only you could see how these people will be hanging their heads in shame before their Lord. And on that day, they will say, our Lord, we have seen and we have heard. فَرْجِعْنَا, send us back. نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا. Now we will do good. We promise. إِنَّا مُوقِنُونَ. Now we know for a fact that you exist. Now we know for a fact that we can be brought back to life. Too late. If Allah wanted to, he could have given everybody guidance. But this is not Allah's choice. Allah has chosen for this life to be a test. And if you failed it, you can't at that point say, please give me another chance. Because you had so many chances when you were alive. Okay? And that is the reality for those people. But those who believe, they are the ones who fall in prostration when they're reminded of the Lord. They're not arrogant. They wake up at night to pray. يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا, making dua to the Lord in hope and in fear. And they spend from what we have provided them. They live this. This is how they live. So now when they, you know, are resurrected, that Jannah that they were working for, they, I will attain it. This Jannah is, no soul knows what is kept hidden in store for them as a reward for their labors. It's so incredible. You actually cannot conceive it fully, but it's qurrati a'yun. It is the joy of your eyes. Jaza'an bima kanu ya'malun. Okay, I'll conclude with this one last ayah. This is an important ayah, which is وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah says something very interesting about life. He says, we will make them taste a lesser punishment before the greater punishment, so that perhaps they may return to us in repentance. Meaning, life will have, you know, Allah will have these incidents that will happen to us, things that will happen to us that will be very painful. But that very painful, you know, circumstance that we'll go through is Allah's reminder that wake up before it's too late, right? Because these people will complain, right? In this surah, people are like, oh, just give us one more chance, God, just one more chance. Now we know. But Allah says He's going to give you reminders throughout your life to wake you up, to help you come back. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. So you can come back to the straight path. And that is, if you don't pay heed to that, then the loss is yours. These are the surahs that we covered today. Alhamdulillah, Surah Ankabut, Surah 29. The theme of it was Fitna, Surah Rum, the signs of Allah that are all over, that are clear from the prediction of the fall of the Sassanids and the victory of the Byzantines, to the prediction of the Prophet ﷺ on the Battle of Badr, to examples of signs of Allah all around us, and then the story of Luqman and the beautiful father-son relationship, and of course concluding with Surah As-Sajda, Surah number 32. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll pick up from Surah number 33, Surah Al-Ahzab. Thank you for staying with me till the end. We will now end around 7:40 to 7:45. Just because we have a little bit more time. 7:40 to 7:45, because we have a little bit more time. And today I spent some time talking about the last 10 nights. So I hope that is okay with you all. Jazakumullah khairan for giving me your time and your attention. I hope to see you again tomorrow. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu alaik. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.